Okay, so gambling isn't inherently sinful. Fine. But I don't know anything about gambling. Well, this is what we're going to do today. Survey the gambling landscape to bet, drink, smoke, and chew, and go with girls who do. Today on Sinners and Saints.
In an age of moral bankruptcy, political sleaze, theological confusion, and aimless religion in a mindless church, we're addressing the need for a Bible-based, intellectually rigorous, 21st century Christian faith. This is Sinners and Saints, theology with an edge.
Adam Kalustian, John Sautel, Moses Jambazian, continuing our series, To Bet, Drink, Smoke, and Chew, and Go with Girls Who Do. Our duty today is to survey the gambling landscape. Couple of reasons for that. First is we want to condemn very clearly two forms of gambling that are prevalent. Everything is to give you a little bit of information so at least you can discuss things intelligently out in the culture with your neighbor. I mean, everybody is watching poker on ESPN. They're running old poker tournaments morning, noon, and night on that station. There's a lot that is being talked about out there. You should at least have a little bit of an idea of what's going on. Let's get into this sinful gambling first. Some of you may be surprised after listening to the first show where we do not condemn gambling outright, that we actually think there are forms of gambling which are inherently sinful. For example,
state lotteries or any form of state-sponsored gambling is sinful. It is wrong, and the problem with it is that it is government exceeding its lawful bounds and government actually now having to promote an activity which can lead many people into a very destructive path. So we find this to be absolutely an immoral performance on the part of the government.
It's also extremely hypocritical when you see how far the government bends over backwards in other so-called societally degenerative problems like alcohol or smoking or trans fats. You know, it bends over backwards trying to outlaw everything under the sun because, oh, it might cause a problem. It might cause a health defect. It may lead to poverty or whatever. And then it sponsors gambling, completely overstepping its bounds. Never mind that. But then it sponsors gambling, which they know full well contributes to poverty and frustration, disillusionment, and all these other things. I just think it's completely hypocritical.
And the types of gambling it promotes are also not even the most entertaining, or the type of gambling it promotes is also the one that has the absolute lowest type of return. The lottery, where you get millions and millions of people buying $1 tickets and hoping that they strike it rich, whereas overwhelmingly, they are just giving more money to the state. In fact, I've heard it called a tax on the mathematically challenged. You are giving away money, which you have no possibility of seeing again. And just because there's one person that you've never met wins, and he's like, oh, that could be me. No, it won't be you. It's never going to be you. You are giving away money you don't need to and gaining nothing in return.
And not only that, if you look at the kind of destruction it actually brings to the lives of people who win these, especially if they're lower income or blue collar type workers, I mean, truly, these are very sad rags-to-riches stories because they seldom end in riches. These people squander the money almost as fast as they take it in. They all of a sudden find out that they have more friends, family, and relatives than they ever knew existed in the world. All these people with their hands out causes all kinds of strife and division and turmoil in their lives. Many of these people, when they're interviewed afterwards, when they've squandered all their wealth and riches, say it was absolutely the worst thing that could have happened to them that they won the lottery.
Yeah. Now, some of these arguments you guys are talking about could be categorized in the fundamentalist camp, I think, but clearly the argument that the state has no right to sponsor gambling activities is just obvious. It is such an abuse of authority. I mean, think about this. The proceeds that they get from running these gambling schemes are then used also to fund other activities that the government has no right to legislate. We've talked about this before. So the whole state-funded lotteries thing is bankrupt. It's an abuse of their being appointed by God in a position of authority. The state should not be running lotteries to fund their social engineering. That is sinful and bad. Plus, it's annoying because you've all been in line at the Quickie Mart when you just want to get out of there, buy a pack of gum. You want to buy a pack of gum or whatever, and this 75-year-old lady is sitting there scratch and offer winners. And if she happens to win $2, she wants to parlay that into a quick pick in the lotto for the upcoming jackpot. It's just annoying.
So 15 minutes later, your ice is melted.
So just, yeah, stop doing that.
You're late for your appointment.
That's right. Just stop doing that. I call for a Christian boycott of every chain that sells the state-funded lottery scratchers and the state-funded lottery, unless they have a separate line for it, and then I think it's wrong on other grounds. Okay, state-funded lottery is sinful. How about this one, guys? Church bingo. Fundraising for the kingdom of God. What's wrong with that?
Well, I would say more than just bingo, but any sort of these church-related gambling things, which is meant as a fundraiser, is just a very, very demeaning thing to the kingdom of God.
What it does is it trivializes, first of all, the beautiful, God-glorifying act of giving sacrificially. It taints it with, oh, I want a little bit of a tease out of it. I really want to expect that. I want the exhilaration, the excitement of expecting to get something back, instead of seeing that you're giving your money to the Lord and that that in and of itself is dignified and that you're making a sacrifice of praise to Him out of thanksgiving for the glorious gospel of Christ. Church bingo, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and even though I wouldn't go along with all the fundamentalist criticisms against gambling and why it's, you know, morally repugnant and can't be done, it confuses the very people who they're trying to make those arguments against, because very often the churches that will come out adamantly opposed to gambling or dropping a quarter in a slot machine at Las Vegas will have raffles and door prizes at their church gatherings, you know? Like, that's okay. That's not gambling, but heaven forbid that I should go play the craps somewhere, a craps table. It confuses people.
State-funded lotteries, wrong, sinful. Church bingo, any sort of church fundraising, trying to draw you in with the hope of winning a prize. We just think that trivializes government. It trivializes the church. It is abusing authority and inviting people into sin that they just shouldn't be committing. However, that is not... However, that is not all of the gambling that's out there, and we thought we'd give you a couple of categories that you can use to decipher the different kinds of gambling that people are talking about and participating in. We're basically going to divide it into two types. The first type is what's called parimutuel wagering, where a bunch of people put money into a common pool, and they're competing against each other, all of the other participants in that parimutuel pool, and the house is simply administering the wager and takes a cut out of the entire pool and then distributes out of that pool to the winners. Let me give you one example of parimutuel wagering. It's called horse racing. When somebody goes to the track, all of the fans who bet money into the pool, it all goes into the same pool. The track takes out a certain percentage of all the money that goes in, and they use that money to pay the people who are running the thing. They use that money to pay the owners of the horses that are winning. And the rest of the money that went into the pool is then paid out, according to the odds of how people wagered, to the winning gamblers, depending on the horse that wins. Another kind of parimutuel wagering, which is very popular today, is poker.
In poker, what you have is a game of skill more than a game of chance, because it's not simply what cards you get, which can be random, but also how you play them. Are you able to read and understand your opponent? Can you intimidate your opponent? Can you lead your opponent into betting when you have the superior hand and he has the weaker one? So it's a game of skill against another player.
Well, gosh, the way you describe that, Moses, it makes me think that poker leads to sinning. The lying and the deception and the gaming that's going on. Obviously, this is something that Christians cannot legitimately participate in because it leads to sin. Thou shalt not lie. Bear false witness.
Yeah, I think that that commandment is very misused anytime somebody is scared. The lying and misleading of others is forbidden by God's command when that person has a right to and you have a responsibility to tell the truth. It does not apply in games. It does not apply in a place where everyone knows this is the goal, is to try to read and to try to understand and to try to skillfully play your opponent.
There are actually people who have used that argument to declare all kinds of games wrong, or even drama, because when there's drama, you're lying. You're not who you're saying you are. You're acting to be somebody else. You know, when you're playing a game of gin rummy, say, where there's no money on the table, you are trying to play a certain way that gives deception to hide your hand to get the upper hand in the game. Now, if you accept that drama is not wrong, if you accept that gin rummy without money is not wrong, then you have no basis on the principle of lying to say that poker is wrong.
But just one more thing on this one. I've actually heard it said that any type of business negotiations are also improper for a Christian because you're always seeking to imply that this is the most you will pay or that you cannot afford to pay more, and therefore it's inherently lying to not put everything out on the table from the very beginning of a business negotiation or to buy a car or whatever else. So there's an improper use of that commandment.
Okay, but let's get back to the point here. Parimutuel gambling. I want you to understand the dynamics of it. You may never participate in it or whatever, but you should know the difference between parimutuel gambling and other forms. All the money goes into a pool. The house, the administrator, just takes out a percentage. If you sit down in a poker game at a casino, what happens is all the money is going to the pot and the dealer will rake. He'll take out of the pot a little bit to fund his job, to keep the casino going, to make money off of your gambling. But really, you're competing against the other players. And there is, in all forms of parimutuel gambling that we've talked about, poker and horse racing, for example, there is skill involved. Now, certainly, it's not only skill in poker and in horse racing. There is luck involved or other factors beside what information is available to you to process and use as your skill in the game. But that is parimutuel gambling. The other main category of gambling is house games. Games when the gambler is putting up their money against the house according to the principles of the game and the odds that are established by the house for that game. Now, you're very familiar with some of these things. Blackjack, craps, the dice game, slot machines, roulette. Basically, you're not competing against other people, your fellow gamblers. You are competing against the house who is administering the game.
Okay, let me just interject something here really quickly. If you couldn't tell already, Pastor Adam is our resident gambling expert. I know nothing about these matters, but based upon the description you just gave, it sounds to me like if I'm having to put my money up against the house which has basically infinite resources, how in the world can I responsibly play such house games as blackjack and roulette and craps when my odds of winning are so terribly low?
Obviously, the house sets odds that are not favorable to the player. That's why all of us aren't living in the lavish adult playground palaces that you see in Las Vegas.
And eating $6,000 burgers.
That's right. And the and the owners of casinos are the ones that are building Las Vegas and tempting everyone to come out there and share in their riches, right? The reason that's true is because the games are designed to be mathematically favorable to the house. So depending on the game that you're playing and depending how well you play it, there is a certain percentage of money that the house will pay out for every, say, dollar wagered. So for example, if you're playing a slot machine, the slot machines are fixed. They are fixed in the sense that the slot machine over time will only pay out X percent for every dollar wagered. It could be anywhere depending on where you're playing. I don't know how low it goes, but it could go anywhere probably in your typical casino from 85, 90% all the way up to maybe 99% or even a machine that would pay 99.9% out. But no matter what, you see, the slot machine is rigged to make money over time. It is mathematically impossible for that slot machine over time to lose money. So when you're playing house games of chance, you have to recognize that for every, say, dollar you're wagering, you're putting into a slot machine, you are giving away 2-3 cents on that dollar. Different games in the casino and the different kinds of wagers in the house games of chance all have different structures and different percentages, some better, some worse for the player, of amounts that the casino will be paying out on any given wager over time. Now, we should say this about some house games. If you are skilled at counting cards, for example, when you're playing blackjack, and certain blackjack rules are in your favor, and you play blackjack perfectly, you can tip the advantage your way. But then again, you'd have to know about how to do all that. You'd have to know about which kind of blackjack games to look for, etc. There is the game of video poker, which is a slot machine, but it's computerized video poker. And there are certain machines with a payout structure that if you play perfectly, you can, again, tip the odds in your favor and over time, say, make money on that. But by and large, the games that are there in the casino are designed for you to be at a significant mathematical disadvantage. So the casino's goal is to get you in there and play as long as possible and continue to give them a percentage of every wager over time that you make.
So what you need to do then is look at this in terms of entertainment. The same way you would go to a movie and you would assume, all right, you know, I'm going to pay $10 for the ticket, another $5 for the popcorn or whatever else, plus parking, depending on where you've gone. And you're going to get 2 hours of entertainment out of it. In the same way you say, all right, look, I'm going to have X amount of dollars that I know I will probably lose over time. You know, every session might be a little different. But I'm going now to be entertained. I like the exhilaration of winning and even the frustration of losing. It's kind of a release. But I am entertaining myself over a certain period of time. And once that's done, I'm done. Then I can go out and have a dinner. I can go do whatever else. So in that case, yes, while mathematically, if you played 100,000 hands, you would ultimately lose, you know, X amount of dollars. The fact of the matter is you're doing it simply for the entertainment, the joy, the exhilaration that you get from it. And so in the same way that you pay for a movie, you pay for parking when you go to the beach, you're just simply paying the casino for entertaining you for a certain number of hours.
What's wrong with you guys? Why are you talking about different kinds of gambling? Look, it's all part of our approach here. Don't teach as doctrines the commandments of men. Have a little bit of basic knowledge about the culture, about what's popular, so that you can then, not in a fundamentalist, annoying, Bible-thumping way, engage your neighbor. Actually, maybe even enjoy some of the creation and the ways in which we can play games and play with our minds in God's world. Not to get obsessed with these things. Just think about it in a biblical way, in a creation-affirming, engaging way. This will be better for us. It'll actually help us to curb abuse of these things in the long run. To bet, drink, smoke, and chew, and go with girls who do. We'll see you next time, sinners and saints.
Join us next week as we tackle more topics with the truth of God's Word on Sinners and Saints, Theology with an Edge.